You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
They know all the secrets that you hide.
Welcome to Section 31, episode number 200. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler, and I can't count.
All right. Very good. We are, for our 100th episode, we did something. I mean, we talked about stories and all kinds of random things, our history with the game and continuing committee stuff, and we answered a lot of questions. And this time, episode 200 happened like right in the middle of con season, so we have really nothing out of the ordinary prepped. So, which is to say, we have nothing prepped, which is what is ordinary.
So I guess that is the ordinary.
Yeah, so we're just going to go and talk about what we were going to talk about had this not been a milestone episode.
I think there's plenty to talk about regardless.
Yeah.
Between you going to Gen Con and there was some stuff that happened on the website while you were gone and people earning achievements. We've got lots to talk about.
Yeah. So let's start off with Dallas this morning at 6:30 a.m.
That seems to be going in the reverse chronological order.
I know.
Why were you in Dallas at 6:30 a.m.?
So my flight out of Indianapolis was delayed for 45 minutes because of an equipment change, which is airport code for the plane is broken and we're sending a different one in its place. So we got on that plane and sat there for an hour while they tried to fix what was broken on that plane. And then we sat there for another half an hour, and then another half an hour. And then they kicked us off that plane and shoved us onto a plane in the adjacent area, which happened to have exactly the same number of seats, which I thought was a miracle.
Wow, yeah.
Planes are different, and whatever. Everyone missed their connections because it was Indy to Dallas and then Dallas to wherever you're going because, where else would you be?
Sure.
So we got to Dallas. It was very late. We stood in line for way too long at the gate to get our vouchers and everything, and they put us up in a hotel, which took another hour and a half to get to because of complications. Anyway, I started my day in Dallas this morning and finally made it back to San Diego late this morning. But it's been a long day. It's been a long couple of days. But the previous days... The Wednesday night, the Thursday, the Friday, and the Saturday, the Sunday, awesome. I've already marked my calendar for next year because it was an amazing time. My job, I had one job, and I did my one job. My one job was to run the 10 o'clock in the evenings, or the night, Tribbles tournaments. And we had on Wednesday night, we didn't have anything scheduled, but there were enough of us hanging around after the 1E playtest that we sat down and played, and then another table filled up and sat down and played, and a third table filled up and sat down and played. So we had we kept playing over and over again because I think I scored three games on Wednesday night alone, just because it's people that we haven't seen in a long time or ever, and we're sitting down and we're having a good time playing Dribbles. That's awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. All our rooms were in the same hotel. They weren't necessarily on the same floor. I know that's been kind of an issue in the past, but in the end, I don't think it mattered very much. We spent so little time in the hotel. I think, the amount of time I spent awake at the hotel was not very much.
Yeah, that sounds about like the last time we went.
Yeah. There was hanging out at the bar downstairs a couple of nights. I think the night that I flew in on Wednesday night, I caught a cab in with Neil, the Hoskins, and Nick Yankovic. They were all three of them had flown in from England at the same time, so we got to split a cab. That was awesome. And Neil and I sat down and waited for everyone else to show up, and no one did. So he pulled out some TUI decks, and he pasted me pretty good. But that's what happens. Had a glass of wine. He had a couple of beers, and it was a great start to the evening. Like I said, after that we wandered over where the playtest was wrapping up, and we played Tribbles until late into the night, and got ready for the next day.
Cool.
Day one. Yeah. Well, sorry, that was day zero, because Wednesday's.
Yeah, Wednesday is sort of the lead up.
It's pick up your badge day, and you know.
It hasn't quite become like Origins, where Wednesday actually has events outside the con, but I know a lot of people show up and you know, have get-togethers with people they haven't seen, and there's certainly plenty of gaming as people roll in, which is as you you illustrated. But yeah, Thursday is more like day one. There wasn't any. There was none of the North American events.
None of the championships were on Thursday. It was kind of a warm-up day. I think I mentioned I wanted to bring the decks that I have been playing here over and over again, so that I can stop playing them and get that 10x achievement. The first event was a revised Oney event, and I kind of scrambled to get there. I got there just as it was starting and the pairings were being made, and there were exactly 8 people. So nice. I decided, you know what, I'm not going to play. I'll have another chance to play this deck. And so I went and wandered the con floor. Actually, that's when I did most of my wandering on Thursday. And man, that place is packed. It was like, it was seriously Comic-Con packed. I don't know what it was about Thursday. Everyone was there. It was right after it opened. And it was shoulder to shoulder walking through the aisles. There were intersections where no one was moving. It was astounding. I mean, the aisleways are not, you know, Comic-Con wide. It was, you know, standard Gen Con aisle sizes, so it was a little congested, but I don't think I've ever seen that many people there. And after not going to Gen Con last year and going to Origins a couple of years, I was reminded at how much smaller Origins really is. The floor was huge compared to Origins. And even this year I thought, wow, the Origins floor is pretty big. You know, it goes way that way, and it goes way that way, and it gets pretty deep. Yeah. Gen Con, with the new convention hall all open now, it was about four times the size of Origins. And it was long, one way. You couldn't see. It was hard to see from one side to the other, you know. I think I wandered. I spent a few hours, because I want to say that there was an event starting at like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock that I wanted to play on Thursday. It's all so much of a blur now. Let's see. These are not in any kind of order. All right, well, maybe I played something, maybe I didn't. I don't remember. I think I went to grab lunch with Charlie after wandering around. We walked all the way out to the mall. It could have been Wednesday. I should have made a journal. Anyway, so after wandering around, I got to hit all the booths that I wanted to hit. James and two of the local players asked me to pick up something for them. Oh, I remember what I was doing. I had a bag full of about 8 RPG books that I didn't want anymore. A couple of 3.5 core books, a couple of old Star Wars books, D6 books that I had duplicates of. And 2 years ago when I went to Gen Con, I brought books with me. I went to Crazy Igor's. I did like a 4-for-1 trade, and I got a couple of books I didn't have.
Nice.
I wandered the floor for however many hours it was with these my super overloaded Tribbles and Star Trek backpack on one shoulder, and a bag just full of thick, you know, piles of oak tree. There was no one buying books. Crazy Igor was not there. All the big major sellers, no one was buying. There was a used bookstore, and it turns out maybe less of a used bookstore. It was kind of like a fantasy sci-fi bookstore, but they had a few role-playing games books there, and kind of reminded me of Mysterious Galaxy in the way it kind of felt, that kind of a booth.
Right.
But they had a lot more of their books there. They had a lot of their wares. And I asked the guy, so you buying books at the con? He said, no, but if you drive out to our branch store, you know, we've got 3 of them in Indianapolis, they can buy things from you. I'm like, I'm just here for the con, man. I really want to do that. So I wandered around again. I made a big circle past the artists and got to, wander through there. I got to see the guy who writes Something Positive, Randall Monroe.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, he was there.
R.K. Mulholland?
Yeah, sorry, not Randall Monroe. Randall Monroe is XKCD, isn't he? Yeah. Whatever. Arcade. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry, I screwed that up. My apologies if you're listening. Unlikely. So I got to talk to him for a little while. He was doing sketches. I put some money in a tip jar. Well, actually,
nice.
I told him to put a tip jar out, and then I put money in it. I wandered around the other side. The guy who does, I think it was the guy who does Least I Can Do was there. Guy was doing, there's another one that I started reading, Questionable Content, which is indeed at time questionable. That was fun. You know, I don't think I stopped and talked to him, but I listened to him talk to someone else for a little while, and I kept wandering all the time with this heavy bag on my shoulder. I wandered back by that book place again and talked to someone who looked like he was more in charge and said, "Hey, you guys adding books to your stock here, or are you just selling?" He said, No. Mulholland. Yes. Thanks, Charlie. No, we're not buying. I'm like, all right, fine. That's fine. I'll go wander someone else. I found the Crit Success booth and replaced my dice ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I went by later. There were a couple people milling around, you know, handing over cash for rings. When I went back on Sunday, I could not get to the booth. It was five people thick with people buying rings. It was awesome to see.
Nice.
Yeah. But on Thursday, when I was there, I had a little bit of time. I got to talk to the guy, and, you know, we talked about how the Kickstarter went and, you know, the problems that I was having. I said, you know, really, you just really have to just grind it down, and because mine wasn't spinning quite as well as I wanted to. And I got a different size, and it fits a little more loosely now and goes under my pointer finger. And so I'm pretty happy with what I got. I asked him about the life counter rings, and he said they're still working on it. It's just because they got little spring-loaded guys in there, and it's going to be a little while longer. I know that. I think I would have picked one up if they had them. And you ordered one of those, didn't you?
I did. I've been waiting and waiting for it.
Well, apparently you'll be waiting a little while longer, but because they're not ready yet. But he was kind of apologetic, and you know, he seemed like a very nice guy. That was fun to see. I like seeing. I mean, I miss Crazy Igor, but I do like seeing, you know, new things at the con. That was great. I wandered over to the Kenzer booth and talked to them about Hackmaster for a little while. Their GM book is not ready yet. They were hoping to have something, some previews, some couple of pages out of it, but they didn't have that. They're hoping that by next Origins, you will be able to pre-order them. Or at least, I asked them about that. I said, "Do you think by Origins?" And the guy gave me a look that said, "Hopefully," but he couldn't confirm anything. So I'm taking, I made a, you know, a sense motive check, and I think it's going to be ready. I'm looking forward to ordering because that'll be the third one for the set on the shelf over there. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, those are some really nice books.
They are beautiful books. I mean, they're the best looking role-playing game books I've seen. Spectacular. Just the binding looks like, you know, classic book binding, and they're thick. The paper's really thick and glossy. They're a little on the expensive side. But, man, they are nice books. I think the last stop I made, I went by and looked at all the, you know, the big booths selling packs and boxes and things. Second to last stop I made was at the Legendary, or the Upper Deck. They make Legendary. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I picked up a promo. They have a promo supervillain guy.
Really?
Yeah. So I picked one of those up.
For
James.
And who is it?
And it's for James and Whitney. Sorry. Because James gave me a ride to the airport, so I figured he'd like that.
I'll have to see if anybody else got one.
Yeah. Actually, Charlie picked one up for you, I think. Either that or Matt, so he'll be bringing it this Friday. It was some kind of... And Charlie was looking at... You guys have played the game much more than I do, but as soon as I handed it to James, he says, "Oh, it's blah, 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 blah from the series, blah, 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 blah." And you play it with this villain side deck. So apparently all you knew, it's a mastermind guy, and you just use it with somebody else's deck, and it's fun and cool. So perhaps we'll play with that. That sounds
good. You have no recollection of who it is?
It was a villain that I had no idea who it was. So I would say it was not a mainstream villain. I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. I'll keep talking. You can jump on Board Game Geek and see if has anybody's posted with a picture of...
I just asked Charlie in the chat room because I know he'll probably know who it is.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, nice!
Who is El Sabanur?
As I understand it, it's actually an alternate persona of Apocalypse.
Who's Apocalypse? All right.
Apocalypse. All right.
Yeah, all right. I don't follow the comic books as much as some do. Anyway, so I picked that up for James, and I thought about you, and I made Charlie go get one for you because they were signing, they were marking badges. I walked by another booth and saw, he got you the extra dividers and the labels for Dark City. He thought you'd like that.
Yay, all right. I do. I would.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool. I went by the Ultra Pro deck box, the Ultra Pro booth, and they had these deck dividers, the card box dividers that you put in your box. And also, if you hold it up to your face, there's a mustache on it.
Oh, that's what all those were. I saw Donati and Aaron and a bunch of other people, like Santa Barbara guys, posting pictures of those on Facebook, like holding up little cards with mustaches. And I remember, I was like, oh, that's funny. They got the little mustache thing. But I didn't know why they kept having those apparently, at Gen Con.
Apparently there was a set of four. They gave away one every day. I got the white one and the pink one. I don't know what the other colors were.
Collectors.
When I showed up on Sunday, I said, hey, have you got any more of those card dividers? And he kind of looked at me. He said, all we have left are the pink ones. I said, I'll take one. So that was good. The last thing I did on the way out, because I had gone with the intention, I printed out 12 Tribbles decks to take with me and to give out. So I went with the intention of buying enough trouble with Tribble boxes to get backers to sleeve them all with, right? It wasn't the Hills. It was maybe Dave and Adam's Card World or something, right next to the exit to where the game center was. They had the same boxes that they had at Origins that I saw. The big tube of 1,000 Star Trek cards for $10.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it is a good thing that I didn't buy one when we were at Origins.
Really?
So I opened mine up. I thought, okay, I'm going to get some backers here. Let's see what's inside. I looked it up. I'm like, okay, Black Border. Man, these cards are a mess. Oh, that's because this 1,000 card box is 1/3 full of Black Border Premier.
Oh.
It was everything from dilemmas to events and interrupts. Rare, common, uncommon. I have more uncommon Black Border cards than I've ever seen, ever. I mean, I've got a bunch of missions. I can replace the ones that are messed up. I don't have to borrow any more of those energy vortexes anymore. There was a warp core breach in there. And you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, the only thing I didn't see were things like Amanda's. But whatever. I got a ton. And then the rest of the box, the other 2/3 of the box, was Troll and Toad. Thank you, Charlie, from the chat room. It was Troll and Toad that was selling those.
Right.
The other 2/3 of the box was just White Border Premier, but it was White Border 94 Premier. Like, well, that's just weird. I haven't seen that in forever either.
Yeah.
So I sat down and I'm sleeving, and somebody walks by and saw, I think it was Daniel, one of my roommates from out in Florida. So, what'd you get there? Oh, this box $10. Well, and it's funny because the boxes out there, they had Star Trek written on them. Some of them had rares in a sleeve on front, and some of them didn't. And I thought, well, I'm going to get one of the other ones just because maybe they'll sell more. If more people buying Star Trek is always good, I'll just get one of these other ones. So he comes back with one that had the Black Border Picard on it, and it was full of rares from First Contact, DS9. It was astounding. Someone else brought back...
Yeah, he just posted in the chat room, he got 5 First Contact Borg Queens in that box.
Yeah. The next guy brought back Dominion. He got a full set of DS9 and a Dominion set, or most of the Dominion set, lots of Black Border Premier. He got all the personnel that I didn't get. It was astounding.
Wow.
They've sold them all out. People walking by, hey, what'd you get there? Well, we got this box for $10. There was a Black Border Future Enterprise on one of the boxes. There was a White Border, or there was Black Border Enterprise. So all these things that are like, well, that's kind of worth $10 right there.
Yeah.
I didn't want to bring home more cards, so I did not go back and get any more. But, wow, that was kind of cool to see everyone coming back and just having a good time. It was like open packs again. It was amazing.
Man, yeah.
So I'm going to go and look through my Black Border cards and see what I got and see what I can filter into my sets. And if I have a lot left over, I might bring them out to one of our tournaments. We're playing plenty one of you next weekend, right?
I wish. It's a one-y. Totally one-y.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's right. TK's coming. We're playing 2E. Yeah,
it's like, I'll come
that.
If it's money.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll bring it out. JD will be there. I'm sure he can use a few extra cards from Premiere. That'd be fun. Anyway, I got all the cards sleeved in the boxes. That was pretty cool. I got the rest. I cut most of them up on the flight. I cut the last of them up that night. And people were borrowing decks all weekend long. And I managed to give out, spoiler alert, I gave them all out on Sunday after the Continental. So, excellent.
Very cool.
Yeah. I can't for the life of me remember what I did on Thursday night. I might have done nothing. I might have just hung out.
Not a meal involved? Or
probably. Yeah, we went out. I took Charlie and Chris Lobon out. I've been wandering around our local events and when I was out in Columbus, I mentioned it to everyone, and everyone has been giving me some cash. I took Lobon and Charlie out for a steak at a nice steak place, and that was about 7 o'clock, and we just hung out and chatted about continuing committee stuff and had really good food. So, wow, thanks to everyone who helped make that happen. And would you believe... Oh, wait, we sat down. I'm looking at...
No.
Yes. Yeah, Charlie will fight JD for him. That's right.
Pit fight.
Yeah. I sat down and looked at the menu, and it was not as expensive as I remembered. You know, it was Palomino, kind of a nice steak place.
Right.
And so I said, "Wow, I don't think we're gonna meet the amount of cash I was given." When we're done, I'll just make a donation to the continuing committee. I got a glass of wine. They got I got prime rib. Charlie got prime rib. Lobon got these nice little steak things. We had an appetizer. We had salads. You know, we got a little dessert. And the bill came, and after I added up the tip, it was within a dollar exactly what I had collected.
Wow, nice.
It was amazing. So that worked out perfectly. We'll have to do that again. You know, without the. Collecting from everyone probably. It was perfect. So that was great. And we slowly made our way back to the hotel to collect our travel stuff. Oh, sorry.
I'm really glad that you did that, because I know I made a comment on the boards, I think, after the last achievement release about how much work that they do, and in particular for achievements, Chris, constantly trying to fix things that I write tell me what is possible and what is not possible, or trying to make it possible. He was like, can we do something like this? I don't think we can right now, but can we make it do something like this? And he always comes back. So I was like, I need to buy this guy a beer or six at Gen Con, or the next time I see him. And he's like, can I cash that in for a steak and shake at Gen Con? So I'm glad. I was more than happy to I wish I could have been there with you guys, but I'm glad that happened.
Yeah, it was really great. I'm hoping when we do this again, we'll be able to get, we get together. Maybe not go to that expensive place, but go down and sit down and have a nice continuing committee dinner, talk about the state of the organization. And because, I can't let a dinner like that go by without hitting up Chris Lobon for, more things that I want on the shipping side and, some things that we need to get done on the 1E side. I'm not going to spill it. I'll wait until see if it actually happens first. Chris seemed to imply that it's something we could do. And if it happens, then it'll make things very interesting for everyone who's getting packages. I'll leave it at that.
Nice.
But as I said, it was a couple of blocks away from our hotel, and we very, very slowly made our way back, kind of wobbling the whole way because, man, we ate a lot. Somehow, I managed to get my stuff together and head back down for Tribbles, and I think we had maybe an hour or so to kill. We made our way back down, and that was Thursday night, and we played and played. I think we had enough that we split up to tables, and then we reshuffled and played again. The previous night, I lost all three rounds. Two of the rounds, I got the pity tribble. This was no different. I did poorly on Thursday night. it just did not go well. I tried on the previous night. I played my only the most recent set, Big Trouble, Little Kronos. Man, that deck that deck needs some work. I'll tell you right now. I gotta take that apart and put it together again. I played my advanced deck with no ones on Friday. our Thursday didn't fare very well at all. I think I played my Rainbow deck on Friday night. That didn't do well. I didn't score very many triples. On Saturday, I realized that I spent a lot of time putting together and testing a deck to play for regionals, and then I changed it a little bit to take for for continentals. I brought 12 decks to give out. I did not bring my deck.
What?
Yeah. But, you know, I had a lot of decks to choose from. I had my all kinds. I don't know how. I brought 6 of my decks, 12 decks to give away, and I left the one deck that I actually wanted to play sitting around here somewhere. I haven't even found it yet. It's got to be in a box or something. Probably the box that I was planning to take with me. So I looked at all the decks that I had, and Stefan Salsby, the fellow who won a big event recently in Europe, had played this deck, and then he played it a few more times, and it won. It was like a utilize discard tally deck, and I thought, all right, good deck. It seems no one. I don't think anybody really played it until that point because it was mostly utilized, and no one seemed to go after that. So I grabbed it and play, and I think I won both rounds.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just play with this. So I set it aside, and I ended up playing it on Sunday. That was pretty good. It did well, but it didn't do well enough to beat the eventual champion. Dave Bowling was in my pod, and he beat me out. Josh Sheets was in my pod, too, and he edged me out because he had 100,000 head start. But I won the second pod pretty handily. So it was a good deck. I definitely would play that again. It was very strong. But anyway. So Thursday night, done with tribbles, went back and crashed. Friday morning.
So I'm gonna ask you.
Yeah.
How late were you playing tribbles Thursday?
Oh, yeah, easily past midnight.
Oh, see, I told you. We should have. I could have made it. While you were in Indianapolis,
yeah,
I was here in San Diego and working and doing normal things, and the Gamers 3 Hands of Fate. For those of you who are fans, that's a movie that we frequently reference on Friday nights. Actually, this is the new one. Darkness Rising is the previous one. So several of us are big fans of it. They are having a premiere party Thursday night at Gen Con. They filmed primarily most of the movie at Gen Con last year. And for Kickstarter backers, they released it online streaming Wednesday morning. So I watched that over my long lunch hour. And then about an hour later, I was emailing the two guys left in our gaming group who weren't at Gen Con saying, so if we rent a car and we left at 6 o'clock tonight, the average mileage for the car we got and we took shifts driving, it would only be like $200, $250 a piece to get there and back. And if we left tonight, after work, we could be there by midnight on Thursday. We'd have Friday, Saturday, Sunday of Gen Con.
Who did you try to convince to do this?
Brian and Jesse.
How close were you to renting that car?
I'd say about halfway. I sent the email to them, and I was like, oh my God, I wish I was at Gen Con. God, I wish I was at Gen Con. I was like, it's still only Wednesday. Flights are like $1,000 the last minute. Train, I won't get there till Saturday. We could rent the car and drive. That was the most economical option, and I really thought about it, but Jesse could not make it. He already had plans this weekend, and he just bought a house, so he was feeling like he didn't want to spend, even though it was only... I was like, come on, we'll pack up some sleeping bags, we can sleep in the card hall, or we can beg for floor space if people want to, accept a donation towards their hotel costs. Let's just go. But it was pretty last minute to be asking for work time off. And even I, after a couple hours, was like, maybe this is not the best idea. But I thought about it all weekend thinking, I could be there right now.
We could have driven. Earlier this year, when I decided I was going to go to Origins, and I planned the family trip to New York, I was thinking, man, Gen Con, that's a third trip. Maybe I'll just wait till next year, because next year will be Worlds. I'm really glad I went. It was an awesome, awesome time.
I'm definitely going next year.
I've already marked my calendar. So back to the schedule. That was Thursday night. Friday morning is day one of Continentals at 9 a.m. And I had brought two decks with me. The two decks behind me here, the ones on the bottom. One was TNG Cadets that I was pretty familiar with and didn't take much thought. And there was a deck that I brought to a tournament 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that I didn't get to play in. But I figured, you know, probably the easiest thing for me to play. The other deck I brought was that three headquarters nonsense with Ferengi and Klingon, and I don't even remember what the other homeworld is for Kimtar, and lots of bonus points and no win scenario. It's an interesting deck, and it wins, but I don't think I could get enough full wins to even, you know, especially not starting at 9 in the morning, which feels like 6 in the morning from someone from the West Coast.
Yeah.
So I've won 2 games. I think I lost 4 games over the 6 rounds. I had a lot of really great games that I can't for the life of me remember what I did in them, because that was a long day. I think I ended up playing. There were 37 people there. Did I go 2-4? Yeah, I won. I lost against Will Hoskin. I played Alexander, kind of a German accent. His last name is Schmitz. He was playing Klingon, so I played 2 Klingon opponents. Playing the same affiliations will become a theme later on. But played Todd Soper. I don't remember what he was playing. Michael Van Bremen edged me out with his next-gen deck. I played against Neil. I think he was playing Cadets as well, and I was a little faster than him. And then I played against my roommate, Daniel, and his I think it was a movie era TOS deck, and it was faster than me. And had I played my deck 2 weeks ago in that tournament, I would have realized that the mission selection I had was appalling. I had changed out an easy mission for a 40-point mission to extend the range on the Kelpo and have a mission that wasn't susceptible to insurrection. But it turns out that I should have looked at the personnel that were in my deck. It was really difficult to do. I think I had one security, and it was on Ezri, and Ezri ended up going somewhere else most of the time. So that was not a good choice. That was a long day. William Hoskin ended up making the top 16, as did Daniel. So, you know, a couple of guys I lost to end up placing pretty high. Felt pretty good about that. But all in all, I didn't feel like I made any really boneheaded mistakes. I just had a really poorly designed mission set for the people I had. You know, all my games were like I scored 40 points and then didn't do much else because... Or I scored 40 points, and then I scored my 30-point mission, and then just banged my head at a strength mission playing Cadets, or a mission that I only had one of the skill of. Yeah, not smart. What are you going to do? So, you know, that's probably why I'm so far down on the list. It was a good day, though.
I think it's rough when you can't solve your missions.
Yeah. I 2 years ago when we did Worlds, it was like 2 multi-round tournaments. And, you know, we played in one, and I wasn't going to play in the other, and then I decided to because I'm crazy. I think I would have done the same thing this time, except I would have changed the mission out to one that would be easier to do. And I want to say that the first half of the day, you know, the first 3 rounds, maybe the first 4 rounds, if I got hit with the insurrection, I failed, I lost the game. If I didn't get hit with the insurrection, I won even the hard missions. Probably looking at, you know, if you're looking at taking a deck to a big champion like that, you got to kind of expect there to be at least one insurrection in there. So not a good idea on my part, I guess.
I
really liked playing with the cadet mission and the first medical relief mission were very easy. It's just the rest, getting around the corner with that last mission, that was hard. So, anyway, that was the end of that deck. I put that deck back in the box and didn't see it again. What's next? There was an open block constructed, OTSD. I didn't play in any of those. Friday afternoon, I played in the OTF warm-up, and I played, again, I played my Vidian deck because it was one that I didn't get to play on Thursday. I put all the cards that I had taken out to make it revised legal back in. I had moved a couple cards over from my Klingon deck that I would play at Continentals the next day, and just tried it out. I really wanted to play the deck again because better to play it there than here, although you're probably going to see it again at some point. Yeah. Anyway, it did well. I went 2-1. I think I lost a close game. Let's see. Yeah, Jeremy Norris ended up winning with a Hirogen deck. There were 11 of us for 3 rounds. Only one guy went undefeated, but I was one of 6 people with 9 victory points. Apparently I had the lowest strength of schedule. Anyway, the deck did what it was supposed to do. In the last round, I played against... where was the first round? Oh, God, I was playing against somebody... what was that? Was it Justin? Yeah, Justin, one of the guys from Ken Tuff's group up in Seattle. He was playing this deck that was pretty much Voyager, I think. So we were both in the Delta Quadrant, and we duplicated 3 missions, maybe 4. It was pretty rough. He went out and attempted and got hit and stopped by the cloud, and I went and stole the 40-point mission. So that was good for me. And then I went back and hit at my outpost so he couldn't blow me up. God, he must have been playing... Oh, no, he was playing Hirogen. That's right. Because I was worried about him blowing me up the whole time. And then I went out and solved another mission and then moved everyone to the Alpha Quadrant because, you know, that's what the Vidians in my deck do now. And I lost the one skill I needed to get past the dilemma. So everyone's in the Alpha Quadrant. I've got no way of reporting there. And I'm just drawing as fast as I can to get another pair of wormholes or a long-range scan so I get back to the Delta Quadrant and then back to the Alpha Quadrant again to solve the mission. Or just send another ship to the Alpha Quadrant, one of the way or the other. And my dilemmas kept holding him off. And finally he hit another cloud, I think, somewhere, and his ship was locked down. And I drew what I needed, and I flew out, and I solved. Because I had cleared out all my missions in the Alpha Quadrant, but I was stuck there needing a skill to get past the dilemma, and I was stuck there needing a skill for the mission. It was kind of disappointing for me to just sit there and draw, go, but the Lemmas did their job and held them off. So that was an interesting game, and Ken was sitting there kind of watching us play. And you know, after it was done, Justin wandered off, and I said, "Well, what do you think?" And he said, "Well, here's what you did wrong. Your Tannis shouldn't have died when you hit unscientific method because he has treachery. And the last turn, you should not have just attempted the mission after you wormholed in because you used 2 wormholes and your ship should have been stopped. But it didn't matter because I totaled up the points in my head and Justin was completely locked out of the game because he couldn't solve enough if you had a UR monument in your deck. And since you have an Alpha Quadrant mission, I would assume that you had that," which it was true. So Ken's a great guy. And he knows more about this game than I ever will. Later on, he seemed to be surprised that I wasn't playing that Vidian deck the next day because he felt it was pretty strong. That was interesting to hear. I ended up taking 6th in that tournament, like I said, because of my poor strength of schedule. Even though I had the same victory points as the guy who came in 2nd, Charlie. Well done. Yeah. Charlie was running his evil Klingon and either blow up the Nexus mission or blow up the Genesis planet. So that worked pretty well for him. He got 2 wins and 1 loss on the day. But that was good. I got to see how the dilemmas work because it turned out I was using the same dilemmas pretty much in the other deck. I think I had 1 change out. I changed out the Cardassian download dilemma for an assimilated ship for an extra 10 bonus points because I thought I would need it, and I didn't have room in my tent, and I didn't want to discard my continuing mission. But man, those Cardassian download, that's fun. I like that a lot.
Anyway. It is definitely unexpected.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what's great is they can help me solve that mission in the Alpha Quadrant if my Romulans die, because there's a Cardassian icon on that mission. Anyway, contingency plans for the deck that I didn't end up using. Maybe I should have. Anyway, then we played Tribbles, and again, there were just a ton of people there. I want to say that was the night that Eric and Sarah showed up to play, and Sarah borrowed a battle deck and kept requesting it every night afterward. the same way that Chris Lobon's wife, Andrea, kept requesting the bonus deck every time because she was having fun with that. I think I ended up giving each of those decks to them on their way out the door, so that was cool.
Nice.
And I think Charlie took us down to the bar after Tribbles, and maybe that was Saturday night. Yeah, that was Saturday night. I don't know what we did for dinner on Friday. Maybe I didn't eat anything. There were far too many days when I forgot to eat, and it really showed by the end of the day.
Food trucks? Were the food trucks there again?
The food trucks were there. And at one point, I think between rounds, Neil and I went off to grab something to eat on Friday. And the lines were so long that we walked all the way towards the mall and turned left and walked all the way around. We ended up going to Steak and Shake because the lines were so long. It was ridiculous.
Jeez.
Yeah. But that meant the line for Steak and Shake wasn't very long, so I got a really
That's true.
Hamburger.
The further you go, yeah. the food trucks do start picking up people off.
Yeah.
Earlier, so.
Did you see the video that was posted today to the boards? The news report?
I did not.
All right.
The news report?
Yeah, so this, if you haven't seen it, go to, I think it's on the Everything Else board. It might be on the All Things Trek board. There's a video of a local news report, because the both Gen Con and a motorcycle race was in town at the same time. So it was pretty much the reporters, you know, talking to motorcycle guys and then talking to the dorks at the con and then talking to motorcycle guys and then talking at the dorks at the con. Every time they went back to the con, sorry, three of the four times they went back to the con, maybe three of the five times, there's people playing Star Trek. They zoomed in on missions on the table, on the board. And there's Michael Van Vreeman and Amber, and there's there's one frame you can see somebody wearing a random jobber hat. It was hilarious. Matt Kirk
wow.
and Jared Hoffman were there, and you know, full right there. And it was amazing. They had pictures of Catan, some board game I didn't recognize, the huge train, the Ticket to Ride game, and they kept going back to Star Trek. It was amazing. You could see David Cook in his Starfleet uniform in the background. It was hilarious. Anyway,
wow.
part of it, they talked about the food trucks. I went and interviewed a food truck person, and they said, yeah, we've been having great business. We've just been getting slammed, which is awesome. You know, and there were so many food trucks. It was amazing. I did see the one that I went to last time I was there, but the line was so long. I really wanted, it was like some Dan's Creole something. I think that's why I went there last time. And I had a whole boy, and it was awesome. I wanted to go back, but I didn't have enough time. Anyway, yeah, maybe it was Saturday that Charlie and I walked to the mall. Anyway, one day I walked to the mall and had a sub. No, I'll tell you what. That was Thursday because I wanted something light. So I had a Philly cheesesteak. And as I'm watching them pump the cheese on it, I'm like, yeah, great choice. This is really light.
I was like, that's something light? Yeah.
I didn't order fries. Anyway. I had fun at the North American Championship. And it was great to see Matt place high enough to go to the next day. And, you know, I've been palling around with Neil a bit, so it was good to see him in place pretty high. Daniel made it. Hoskins made it. You know, a lot of Donani made it. A lot of folks, even Aaron. Aaron from Santa Barbara made it to.
I saw, yeah.
It was great to see Risa and the West Coast well represented. I kind of wandered off after Tribbles and got ready for the next day, because the next day was probably the one that I had prepared the most for, and that was First Edition Continentals. I've gone back and forth many, many times about whether to resurrect my Borg deck, which kind of know backwards and forwards, or play the Vidians, which won me a tournament a little while ago, and I had just tested them out. They did pretty well. Or go with that fun Klingon deck that I played last week. which, by the way, the episode got posted. If you haven't listened to it, it's me versus Rogue, and I'm playing this deck that I played at Worlds, and wow, it was a long day because 2E makes for, thankfully, it was only 5 rounds, and I had a first round bye, so it was really a 4 round tournament for me, and it was a 5 round tournament for a lot of other people. Let's see if I can remember what happened. I got the first round bye, which earned me an achievement I didn't realize.
Yes, because you got you earned the bye, not that you just got a bye, but you earned it by winning a regional and then going to the next level event and actually playing.
Yeah, because not everyone wins a regional and then makes use of their bye. In fact,
that's right.
The person, I didn't actually win the regional, I came in second, but Thomas Weinberg TV, the local player, already had a bye, so it trickled down to me.
There you go.
Yeah, so I got the bye. I got to hang out with a couple other folks who had the bye. Just really nice people to chat with, other guys who got the first round bye. And, man, if I can remember. I remember faces, but it's been too long, so I don't remember names. Sorry, guys. no, one guy in particular I chatted with for quite a while, and we talked about printing cards, and that was fun. But after that was up, Michael Van Bremen, who had beaten me pretty handily yesterday. He was playing a Bajoran resistance deck. You know, I never saw Morn show up for an extra card draw. Or maybe he did and I just didn't remember it. He unfortunately didn't have enough medical to get past my medical and science drain dilemmas. And the best part was one of the Prylars had a male love interest and went to the far end of the space line, and in penance for that travesty and transgression, the planet blew up out from underneath him and got turned into a space mission.
Oh, my gosh.
He ended up in the Nexus, so what are you going to do? He was happy. Everything worked pretty well in that deck. I solved my first mission. I got my artifact. I went next door. The only problem was he in-the-zoned me. Oh, that's why he lost, I think. Was that the game? He pulled out an in the zone with his last ref, so I wouldn't win on one turn. And then
wow,
yeah. So, but it's okay because when you're in the Nexus, my last 20 points come from Soren being in the Nexus. When you're in the Nexus, you can leave and go anywhere you want, right? So I went to the planet that the Nexus was going to on the next turn. So at the end of Michael's turn,
wow.
So I lose 20 points, right? And then I gained the 20 points back,
20 points.
And they count toward winning again. So, very good. The only problem was that gave him an extra turn because I couldn't just put him right back into the Nexus because that still would have been on my turn, so he'd get a turn out of it. Well, he used his last cue the ref to get his in the zone and couldn't generate a card draw because he had already played out all of his espionage cards, his Bajoran espionage cards. So he solved a mission and then solved another mission, and then was on his way to solving another mission. None of the second two mission points would have counted because of his own in the zone, unfortunately.
Right.
I think he ended up being stopped toward the end, but anyway, I ended up avenging my loss from the previous round against Michael, but it was a very fun game. He showed me his hand at the end, and he was running 2E Covenants so that...
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, it's Michael Van Bremen. He's going to do something interesting. So he had three people that if he got into his discard pile, he could cheat past the ridiculous cunning or computer skill requirement dilemma, even enhanced. Was it Tiro has cunning times two or computer skill
yeah.
times two?
Yeah.
He had somebody
nice.
Else out. He had, there were a couple of dilemmas that he could cheat past and he was ready for, but I wasn't playing with them because I don't like those combos, which is probably why I play so poorly. Anyway, it was a good game, and Michael went on to place 10th overall, so he had a pretty good day after me. After that, I played against Curtis. Curtis is another one of the guys from up in Seattle, and he sat down and put out his missions. It looked like a pretty good Klingon build, so in my head I'm thinking, all right, gotta prep for the Borg, because... That's exactly what I would do. He had Kronos and Salvage Star, Secret Salvage, and that mission that requires Federation and Klingon that requires three youth or three honor and navigation, and a couple other kind of obvious Klingon missions, kind of obvious 35-point missions. You know, and sure enough, as soon as the seed phase was over, he dropped. They will be coming on the far end of the space line, and you saw the deck I played. I've got a Cavort. No, I've got a. What is that? What is the Chaozhou class? Is it
The Burrell
class ship that can land? I've got the Kelpo, the ship that lands, the Katong.
Katong.
I put in a universal Cavort so that I can get past Garbage Scow and have an extra ship when I need it. So that's the Klingon fleet that I've got, and he's coming my way with the tactical cube. So I don't know what I'm doing. I placed my outpost at a planet mission like I usually do, and I beamed down, and I tented for established landing protocols, and I landed the ship so we couldn't blow it up, and I've got my guys, you know, inside and outside all over the place, and then he flips assimilate species, and I'm like, well, I got strong Klingons, but you've got like five strength drones there, so we'll see what happens. And he fought me, and he probed, and he failed his probe. Like, all right, you didn't assimilate all my Klingons. That's good. All right, I've almost got this mission. I got stopped by something silly. Oh, I had to download a tricorder to get past a Founder Secret. Downloaded the tricorder on my turn. I sent down the minimal number of people I needed. I think it was one Klingon, a bunch of random non-aligned species, and the tricorder. Got past what I needed. I got my mission specialist points. I got my artifact, and mission debriefing stopped me. Okay, kind of thought that was coming. That's okay. I'm good. He beams down. On his turn, he gets his... He got what he forgot to get the previous turn, which was an assimilation table. Yeah, and he's got it on his ship, and he's downloading... He puts something on the table and downloads an attachment, you know, an implant to her. And I'm looking at my hand. I'm staring at my disruptor overload. I'm thinking, all right, he beamed down to the table. I'm blowing it up. So he says, all right, I'm going to attack you. And I said, well, okay, let's see how the timing works here. You beam down. No, you were already down there. So all you have to do is announce you're attacking. If I play the disruptor overload, it's not down there. It fizzles. But he hasn't beamed it down yet. This is what I'm thinking in my head. He can attack me. It won't be down there. He's made a mistake again. He attacks. He probes. I say, where's the table? And he flips it over. It's with the guys. Somehow, when I was looking through my hand, he had beamed it down and said, yep, I'm beaming it down to the surface, and I completely missed it. Had I played it on him, it would have blown it up, and he would have been out of luck, because that was like his only... He would have had to go digging for it again. So that cost me quite a lot of personnel, because he then beamed through my shields on my ship and used Gowron to attack everybody on the ship and slaughter a bunch of people. So I spite cloaked on my turn, and then he downloaded the drone that decloaked ships, and you know that was insufficient.
Hey, you made him do that at least.
Yeah. So
I can work for it.
I managed to. You know, he was hanging out where I was, and I was moving people around and cloaking ships and flying one person out. You know, in the middle of nowhere, trying to drag him out and get him away from his mission. I ended up getting most of the way. Most of the way through the dilemmas at my last mission while he was moving around trying to do things, but he eventually, you know, my medical drain does not do very much when every one of your personnel has medical and bio and science. So he got through dilemmas at the space mission. He assimilated a starship. No, I think he established a gateway, and then he moved over to the Klingon homeworld, and... it was a turn or two, but he got through it and solved for 40 points. 40 points plus 25 plus the number of dots he had on my assimilated people was almost, well, I think it was exactly 100. So that was it. It was close, but he ended up winning. So that was a very good deck. We talked a little bit about Borg strategy, and I don't know if he said he saw the decks that I used to play, or I talked about them a little bit, because my we both play with the Gowron, but his deck was a lot more go and get people and wipe the opponent off the board instead of just take a random pot shot if the situation presents itself. And he had a lot of different contingencies. He put a lot of ideas in my head, I'll put it that way. yeah. So I got the loss, and I'm thinking, all right, I've got an earned buy and a full win. If I can get one more win on the day, that'll mean I'm gone. Really, I've gone 2-2, and I'll call that a moral victory. So I've got two rounds to get a win. I can do that. So I sat down against the same guy I played the previous day, Alexander. And he puts out a space line, and it's classic TNG next gen. He's got the two missions that have exactly the same requirements, except one's a little bit harder. Repair station and explore Dyson Sphere, you know, for all those mission specialist points and everything.
Right.
And Earth way over there. So I'm like, all right. You know what? I'm going to prepare for the Borg again because, really, this could be another fake out. Yeah, it was. It was another fake out. It was another Borg deck, another They Will Be Coming deck. And it's funny because he was playing he was sitting right next to Curtis, and both of the Will Be Comings were right next to each other because they both go on the end of the space line. So it's like it was like one big They Will Be Coming party, both going that way. And I looked over to my left, and there's another Borg player over there with same thing. So
wow,
yeah, the Borg were very well represented. Anyway, Alexander's deck was a little less, a little more focused. It actually reminded me a little bit more of my deck. It was a little bit more, okay, I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to go do this, and I'm going to do this. And I'll play, if I have a chance, I'll flip over and eliminate Starship. Maybe I'll come and fight you, but pretty much I'm going to establish a gateway or whatever. I'm going to go assimilate the homeworld. And actually, he went back in time and disrupted the timeline. It was awesome. It was a classic Montana everything.
Wow.
Very well done, yeah. So I had to put Vosh out of play, unfortunately. She was the only human I had. And I think he had, maybe he bounced data to his hand because he was there. Anyway, he had to put one of his drones out of play. It was kind of neat. I haven't seen that in a long time, so that was fun to see. He stopped first contact, and then he was moving back across the space line, and that's about when I got through my last dilemmas. Once he passed me and he was a few missions away, I stopped hiding and I just went all out and started hitting the missions, and I burned through it. I want to say that in this game, I got my artifact, but there was a problem with my last mission. I couldn't get past something, so I had to go around. I ended up doing two other missions. I did a space mission and another planet. So this is the first time I've had to go the wrong way to do something, but it worked out really well. since I had two ships, I was able to use one to kind of go out and look around and have. They were both real crews. I didn't feel like I was redshirting in space because the last thing I wanted to do was run into something bad. Oh, I remember what it was. Awesome combo. It was, and this would come back to haunt me later, it was Edo probe, and then the higher the fewer, and then a dead end. And I hit the Edo probe, and I'm thinking, all right, well, classic combo is Edo probe, whale probe, something else. I've got Guinan in here, so I can nullify the whale probe. And I've got exactly 50 points, so I get past a dead end. I'm going for it. And then I hit the and lost 8 points. And then I hit the dead end, and I lost 10 more points because I didn't solve this turn. So that's why I had to solve an extra mission. I went over and did my space mission, and then I went over and did the planet mission. So it was an interesting exercise in doing something I was not expecting to do. I had to go a different direction. But I ended up with a win, so that was the win I wanted. That was my moral victory. And now I'm sitting next to the top table where Ken is playing against Chris Castellano. And if I win, there's a chance that I can get into the top table. And so I sat down against Dave Bowling. You know Dave Bowling?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The multiple-time world champion.
All right, you know what? he's got a loss. I've got a loss. Let's see what happens. And that's when he put down Kronos. Yeah, Kronos and 10 space missions. And there were two space missions between all of my missions. One, two, yeah. Except one, but it wasn't one I was interested in doing because it was more difficult, so I didn't want to go that way. I spent pretty much a half an hour seeding the space line, trying to figure out where my one dilemma would go over here and where my two dilemmas would go over here. Interestingly enough, I only had two planet dilemmas in my 30, or my 18, so I was able to play real dilemmas in most spots, but even so, he could go and pick and choose exactly where he wanted to harness particle and only face one dilemma and not have to worry about it too much. But in this game, he did a lot of queen swapping. It was very interesting just watching the fluid Borg going in, Borg coming out, and he downloaded a assimilation table. No, he downloaded cranial node? No. Borg data node, the one that lets you draw cards and the one that lets you peek.
Right.
And I blew it up. I blew it up with my disruptor overload. He was like, oh. No. Let me rewind one more time. I let him keep the data node. I blew up the assimilation table because he said, I'm putting this person on the assimilation table and I'm downloading ocular implants. And I said, okay, wait. As soon as you put him on the table, I get an action. I'm blowing up the table. Because I get an action. And then the person on the table dies. So that's awesome.
Nice.
But it turns out it was his end of card draw that he was using to download the table, and then he was going to use another end of turn card draw to download the implants. So in between, you can't put somebody on the table. So he downloaded something else and downloaded the table, and on my turn, I blew up the table. So I've got my disruptor overload in the discard pile, and you know what? If you're only going to face one of my dilemmas, you're going to face that dilemma. You're not going to be able to see what it is. So he gets set up with his harness particle, and he's looking at the card in his discard pile. He starts getting, I think it's 2 of 9 out, and starts cycling things back into his deck again so he can download it again. And I think he downloaded a second one, and I nanoprobed for my disruptor overload, and I blew it up again. And then he says, grumble, grumble. That's not fair, grumble.
Oh, whatever. After he's sitting there cycling cards back into his deck.
I don't know if that's not fair with his words, but, that was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do everything I can here. And so we're playing.
I've got some crocodile tears for you.
He final cycled his last one in, and he downloaded it again. And I used Vosh to special download Dig. I discarded a card from my hand and took disruptor back, and I blew it up a third time. It's like, all right, you know what? Forget this. By now, we were like an hour in, and neither of us had any points. And I'm thinking, all right, if I can hold him off for another 15 minutes with whatever dilemma that is, I can score 10 points with an Arbiter of Succession. Because I've got 2 Klingons here, and I can tent for it.
Right.
And it could be 10-0. I'll take a 10-0 modified win. That would be awesome. So, I'm looking through my cards. I'm playing cards every turn. I'm drawing cards every turn. I'm downloading, looking everywhere. I'm not slow playing, but I'm making sure I'm not leaving anything that I can't do, right? Make sense?
Sure.
Yeah. He attempts harness particle, and on the second turn, he probes and he gets it. All right. So now he's got 30 points. All he needs to do is solve his headquarters, assimilate homeworld for a doubled 40, and he wins. He uses the transwarp conduit to get over there pretty quickly. In the meantime, he's already blown up 3 of my ships that I've tried to venture out to one of the missions because he's got temporal conduits everywhere, or transwarp conduits everywhere. So, really, I'm not doing it. I hit an Edo probe on my mission, and after last tournament, or the last round, I'm like, well, if I fail this, not only am I going to have to do this mission and my second mission, it's a 2-mission win deck. With the space in between, I could still get that done. But if I have to go do a 3rd mission, forget it. So I stopped, not realizing that I'm not even going to get off this planet to a 2nd mission, because that tactical cube can go wherever he wants, even with all the space. He's playing with the interrupt that doubles his range, so he can go through a temporal conduit, then with 16 range, because he had the +1 range drone, with 16 range, get anywhere on the board. So I was pretty much locked out. I should have just went for it looking back, but, then I would have had to solve 3 missions if I got stopped there. Turns out I probably would have gotten stopped there, I looked at the dilemmas when we were putting cards away, and I probably it was a nonsense combo with friendly fire at the end. Maybe I get stopped by the friendly fire. Maybe my guys get through it. Even if I do get stopped, I would have been able to solve the mission and got some points out of it because it was many, many turns before he got going again. Anyway, it was a bad choice. I stand by it. It was a good choice. Eventually, he got to the end of the space line. He walks through the dilemmas over there and probes in one turn, and he gets the full win. So it was well played. I ended up, after Michael Van Bremen, I played against three Borg players in a row after agonizing and not bringing my own Borg deck. Looking back against Van Bremen, it probably would have been a toss-up if I played Vidians. Against Curtis and Alexander and Bowling, I would have been a Delta Quadrant. I wouldn't have had to deal with the space. I probably would have had to deal with Curtis because he probably would have come and got me, attacked me. And I wouldn't have had the privilege of landing a ship, but the movement issue of the 12 space or the 10 space wouldn't have been a problem because I only travel to one Alpha Quadrant mission. I get there by wormhole, so I don't have to worry about it.
Right.
It would have been interesting. That deck might have been stronger, but you know what? I blew up planets in most of my games, and that was awesome. It harkens back to my my Death Star days playing right after A New Hope came out.
Commence primary ignition.
Exactly. I ended up, due to strength of schedule, I think. Yeah, because there were a lot of people with 14 points. Just the opposite of the warm-up tournament. I was the highest strength of schedule on that day. So I was top 8. You know, I was going 2-2 with the earned buy. So I got an extra little pip on my forum badge. And top 8. That's pretty good. I really do like the deck. I think it could probably go a little faster. I think I could probably take a few things out and make it a little... Maybe I should have thought a little bit more about what I was going to be playing. I really didn't try to meta game what the field was going to be. I don't think I would have predicted 3 Borg decks, that's for certain. But my dilemma set was not the greatest against Borg, and I probably could have changed at least one combo out to put at the headquarters or the homeworld in the last 3 rounds to at least get me an extra turn. Maybe against Curtis it would have helped. Probably not against David Bowling. But anyway, the folks I lost to, Curtis ended up placing 3rd, and Bowling ended up placing 5th, so I lost to folks. That's probably my strength of schedule was so high. The people I lost to were really high. I parked myself at the table for the championship round because unlike, you know, first edition, first edition, you play the last round right there. So Ken ended up playing Chris again in a rematch for the final table. And I pulled out my phone and got my little microphone on my headset and mumbled, kind of did a commentary during the whole game. So if that's anything that I can post, I will. Just play-by-play. I don't know if that's interesting to anybody but me, but I'm going to have a listen. It was interesting to see when I was sitting next to Ken and Chris playing, it felt like Chris had the upper hand. I remember at one point Ken saying, you know, in the last round before the final confrontation, Ken saying, "I can see the path to victory, but it is very difficult," as he's moving around. Whereas in the finals, as you'll hear if I can post it, Ken went first, and Ken was in command the entire game. It was from his first action, his very first action that he did, the first order that he executed, it was just all the momentum was on Ken's side. Even in mid-game when Ken was drawing to end, just waiting for Chris to go out, because he had a 50-point lead at one point. He was just waiting for Chris to go out and do something, because, you know, if he didn't, then Ken wins, and if he does, then Ken can do something else. Ken was still pretty much in command, just leaning back, very relaxed. It was interesting to watch. I hope some of that comes through in the recording. I hope I can get it edited and set up. And it's not just me talking very, very low like this the whole time, like I'm narrating a golf tournament. I didn't want to be too loud because I was, you know, if I could see somebody sitting at the end of the table, I could kind of see what they had in their hands, and I didn't want to say anything too loud because that would have been horrible.
But, sure.
You know, just some commentary on what they were doing and how they were acting, and, you know, because you know how it is. When we recorded our game, sitting across the table, sitting at each other, just staring at your cards in your hand, trying to decide what you're going to do as you rifle through them, and then you set them aside, and you pick it back up, and you rifle through it, and you set it aside, and you pick it back up, and you rifle through it again. You know,
yep.
Imagine how much we did at the highest level. That's a lot of thinking before you make any mistakes. So,
yeah.
We'll see if it's completely, if it's worth listening to at all. And maybe that'll be episode 201. We'll see. Anyway, after that exhausting, well, I'll call it four rounds because that's what it was for me. I was pretty happy. I would have liked to have win, you know, either of those two games, but I don't think, man, Curtis slapped me around pretty hard with all this battle, and I don't think I was ever in the game against bowling. Once he put out that space line, I don't know how Ken beat him. No, actually, I take that back. I didn't know how Ken beat him until I asked him about it after the tournament, and he said his Ferengi, he was playing Ferengi, more of a solver than a battler, but his ships had so much range through all the enhancements that he had played, he was able to just go from mission to mission without a problem. He was never stopping at a space. It was mission to mission, and then, you know, moving on. So he'd get all over the space line, which is something I couldn't do. But congrats to Ken for winning. Awesome. I'm looking at some of the other events that I have on my list here, and oh yeah, that was the triples that didn't do very good. That was the triples that didn't do very good, and that was the triples that came in last. And yeah, I ended up not playing in the. Let's see, what was after North American after the 1E Continentals was an infinite diversity draft, and I was like, I gotta get away. I think I wandered to the con floor. Maybe I wandered around a little bit. There was a race to Alpha Quadrant and OTSD. Oh, yeah, I was doing the commentary. That's what was going on. And after that was done, I was pretty much done for whatever. I think we went... I did something. I don't know what it was. But then we played triples, and everything was happy again. We played triples late into the night on Saturday, and then because it wasn't late enough, someone said, hey, anybody want to play Cards Against Humanity? And, you know, I think if it was...
The answer to that is always yes.
Yeah, the answer is always yes, except when you just had a great idea for... man, was that Saturday? I think it was Saturday. Yeah, because we went out to go... Did we go get something to eat first? And then we went to Tribbles? And then... Because I had decided there was a deck I wanted to build for the cool tournament, and it was all printable.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was all printable. So I was going to be able to go to the little Kinko's and have everything printed and cut it out. And then I decided instead I was going to go run the Tribbles, and then we played Cards Against Humanity until way late in the night, and I decided that making a new deck was a bad, bad idea, especially since it was a 9 a.m. start, and it was like 2 in the morning. But it was Eric Biesch, and I forgot, was it Richard New sitting on my left? Neil was sitting on my right, and the Lobons were sitting across from me. And it was hilarious. As
always.
As you would want to do playing Cards Against Humanity, it was just fall out of your chair funny. Two random people walking around the con floor or the playing area just said, hey, what are you guys doing? And we pulled out chairs and they said it was a father and son and they were making fun of each other the whole time. It was absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Charlie's reminding me we did indeed go back to the hotel and got food. I think Charlie ended up buying the drink for us all, and then we went back for Tribbles. I think that's why I was able to go so long, is because I had a little bit of food in me. That's right, because we went to eat, and some folks went off to play in the Austin Powers Championship, which I'm going to have to remember next time, and I'm going to bring a deck, because I know I have at least one starter of Austin Powers around here somewhere. I think it's in my Monty Python box.
Wait, I thought the way to win that was by not playing.
What, Austin Powers?
Yes.
No, that's War Games. All right, I'm off the rails now. Sunday morning came way too early, and I did not get up in time for the cool tournament. In fact, I don't even think I made it down in time for the 10 a.m. player's choice. So I wandered around the con floor again. I had to get a box of the Kingdom Builder Crossroads expansion for our local guy Jesse and our local guy James. I had to rendezvous with the hotel room block coordinator guy who works for Gen Con, so I could thank him personally. I had to there was two other random errands I had to run, and I wanted to walk around the con floor one more time. So I did that. It was kind of a busy morning, but by 1 o'clock I had ran all my errands and I was ready to go, and it was time to sit down and play Tribbles for Continentals. So we got everybody registered. Oh, they had 20 for Austin Powers. Man, that's pretty cool. I think we need to schedule Austin Powers around Tribbles, or schedule Tribbles around Austin Powers next year. Anyway, we'll get that sanctioned by the continuing committee. I played in the Tribbles event. Like I said, I had played a deck that it was not the one I intended to play. But I taught two new people who wanted to join in how to play Tribbles. Handed them each a deck. I handed one a discard deck, or maybe it was a poison deck. And the girl he was with, the lady, I wish I remember her name. Maybe Charlie remember. I handed her. I had a bunch of them out. I'm like, well, you know what? This one just won an event locally, and I gave it to her. It turns out it was JD's deck that he had posted, that he won with a little while ago.
Yeah.
And kind of gave him the run through that you take your turn this way. Daniel was there, so we kind of went back and forth. You know, I play a card, then you play the next nomination, and you look at the power, and if it's something you want to do, usually they're pretty good, you do it. This one gets points this way, this one gets points that way. That's right, I think he had the poison. The guy had the poison and score deck, and she had the utilized deck. So they were both, you know, score points without actually going out, which is kind of fun to play. And she ended up making the top table with that deck, which is hilarious. Never played before. Got handed a deck, sat down, and advanced to the finals in the Continental Championship. Awesome.
Wow. Yeah. Nice.
I ended up being third at my table, but it was a lot of fun. Who was on my left? Bowling was over there, and Leslie was the name of the girl I was playing with that I gave the deck to, and John was the guy. So if you're listening to the show, hello. Congratulations. I forgot who was playing in the last round. Was it? Oh, it was. Wombadu. Jason Drake. What's the name of the Drake class ship from All Good Things? Wombadu. USS Wombadu.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm listening to you. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it.
All right. Yeah. So he was there, and then Josh Sheets was to my right, and Steve Rotz, the guy who. The awesome Steve Rotz, who was helping Charlie adjudicate the tournaments all weekend long. God, I think he was on his feet more than anyone. This was the pod, and this was an amazingly fun pod. There was lots of table talk, and I can't believe you poisoned him again after that antidote. It was a lot of fun. I got a lot of points, but I was edged out by Dave, who poisoned a lot of points away. And it turns out, I was doing the final scores, Josh says, yeah, I got a 100,000 head start, which put him just above me, but not enough to overtake Dave. And Dave ended up winning the final round. You gave a deck to someone who got to the finals as well. You gave a deck to Mac, right?
I did. Players.
Yeah, so one of our friends who joins us on Friday nights when we play Tribbles, who wasn't planning on playing in Continentals, not really a card gamer at all. He's more of, he joins our role-playing game group. He ran the game for a while.
Yeah, but he's got that mechanics thing down. He picked up as soon as he played he's played Tribbles like maybe half a dozen times with us occasionally. But I could see the wheels turning once he played because usually he plays the poison. I was like, well, here, rescue. This is a little bit different. And
yeah.
He actually, I think he enjoyed the game more. Watching all the moving pieces and getting that. So he actually requested that deck for Continentals when I asked him if he would go and play as my proxy. And so I was happy to send it along, and I'm excited that he made it to the top table. That's awesome.
Yeah. Eight players made the top table because we had eight pods for the Continentals. Eight
wow.
Pods of six or five. Yeah, eight pods of five. There were 40 people there or whatever. Wambundu. Anyway, Wambundu.
Stop.
I ended up doing okay in the second. The second pod, it was me and a couple folks, and I ended up winning that. So the deck did its job, but it's not in the right pod. Anyway. So JD's deck made it to the finals. Your deck made it to the finals.
Surely you gave somebody a deck.
That
made it to the finals.
No doubt. I don't want to tell you how many times I was beat with my own deck this week. It was ridiculous. it's funny once. Ha, ha, ha. Here's a deck. We'll play on Friday night. Yeah, okay. You won with it. I either chose poorly or what. But
how many of those were decks that you built or decks that you just constructed and brought? Because not all 12 of those decks that you brought were yours. You said you printed some of those off of.
No, I took
some
your
of the players,
rescue deck.
So.
I took Stefan's utilized deck. I took JD's utilized deck.
So it wasn't. You weren't always beat with your own deck.
No, but my bonus deck beat me more times than I wanted to admit. My discard deck beat me more times than I wanted to admit. What else do I had? I had a control deck that was pretty fun to lose to, and it was a lot. I think 7 or 8 of the 12 decks were mine, but. Anyway, like I said, it was good to see Bowling at the top of a table. Welcome back. His son was playing. We played throughout the weekend. He played a few times. That was fun. I think he was in my second round pod. After it was all said and done, man, what a great weekend! I'm really glad that I went. We all kind of checked out and hung out for a little while, said goodbyes. I wandered around because my flight wasn't out until later. It turned out much later. I've already marked my calendar for next year, man. Since Worlds is going to be back there, if you're listening to this, you need to make plans. You've got a year to scrimp and save and get the time off ready to go. You need to be at Gen Con next year. It's going to be an amazing event.
Yeah, I'm sad I didn't go. I'm glad I didn't leave and do the last minute trip because we wouldn't be recording right now.
I'd still be
3 hours out. I'm definitely looking forward to going. I wish I had gone this year, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody for Worlds next year at Gen Con. And I tell you, listening to you describe all of this, I know we plug a lot of other things. I'm going to jump back a little bit real quick to that movie I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I enjoyed it so much the first time, the previous one, Darkness Rising, was because it's all role-playing game-based, and they switch back and forth a lot. I don't think you've actually seen it, now that
the
I'm talking about
pile
it.
Of you... druids or whatever?
Yes, the dead bards.
Yes.
We reference it a lot, so you've been exposed to it, but they kind of go back and forth between table scenes and in-game scenes, and I was looking forward to more of that, and it's absolutely not that. It's actually... they're kind of sidelined, but it's the same characters. And one guy decides to pick up learning a CCG because he meets a girl who's totally into it. And the entire thing is like the last 20 years of my life. It's not the learning to play a game for a girl part, but just the conversations that you've had. If you've ever spent any kind of time playing a CCG, even if you don't know these characters from the previous movie, you'll know the other characters in it from your life, from your gaming group, from the cons. Like I said, half of it is played at Gen Con at the big Worlds tournament. And it's really interesting. It's a great movie in general, and it's a great peek into the CCG world. If you have a significant other who doesn't understand what you're talking about sometimes, you should show them this, because this is kind of like a little glimpse into that. And it also brought in sharp relief, and we've talked about this a couple of times, why we play Star Trek. Of all the games that are out there, yes, we love the Enterprise, and we love Picard, and we love Kirk, but this playgroup, this community, is got to be one of the best card gaming communities out there. You don't see people, meeting up with other people when they come to town to play Magic, you're making really good friends at cons because they sat down and played across the table with the MetaMagic game. Those guys sit down and they're there for the money or they're there for the game and they're looking at their mechanics and they're not paying attention to anything and they don't go, oh, that's so cool, you totally beat God with Willard Decker and Dr. Gillian Taylor or, you know, something weird like that, that actors and movies are, or recreating scenes from the movies. There's not a lot of that outside of this community, so listening to you talk about the game and interacting with the other people at the con, that is, more than anything, reminded me of seeing that in the movie, and it made me think of all the stuff I was missing at the con, and that was why I literally watched that and went, I'm getting in a car and I'm driving to Indianapolis right now. So I just got my at least sort of vicarious con through you, and I'm hoping some other players will get that from watching this episode. But I don't really have a stake in whether or not you go watch the movie, but I really enjoyed it, so I think you should.
What was the name of the movie again?
It's called Gamers, Hands of Fate. Because you're holding their cards in your hands and you're playing out their fate. You can watch it streaming for free through the end of this month on watchthegamers.com.
Cool.
And then you have to buy it after that. It's like $10 and you can buy the download. But yeah, it's streaming for free for the rest of August.
All right. Well, I've been talking for quite a while and I've had a long day of not being where I wanted to start it, so yeah.
So we don't really have time to delve into it too much, but I do have to ask.
I
hopped on the chat room Thursday night at midnight Eastern because one of our sources leaked me a little bit of information that it might be fun to check out the site that day. I was very sad because there was nobody else online to be freaking out about it.
Yes.
You guys were up at midnight. Did anybody notice it that night or did they come the next day and be like, oh my God, well, there's a new setup.
Here's the thing. Charlie had printed sets and gave them out in Thursday's event to the winner of the two-week tournament. Didn't say anything, just had it in an envelope and said, here, please don't talk to anybody about this, or something like that. I don't know if it was don't talk to anybody about this or do what you wish, but here you go. And so it was immediately on the table when everyone was staring at it, you know? We were out that night at around 9 o'clock, and Charlie and Chris were both staring at their phones. All right, here we go. Let's make sure everything posted. Okay, all right. The links are good. Everything works. All right. There's something wrong with this. Okay, I fixed it. And watching the boards through the Tribbles games. You know, okay, people just freaking out about it being full of wind or why is this mission here that destroys the future deck, and it was interesting to see. Charlie's article was great. I recommend reading it. That set of firsts, if you haven't already. Very descriptive, very well written. I think I sat down with it on probably Thursday afternoon before it went up. Maybe it was Friday afternoon because I hadn't seen the thing, and just looking at all the cards, I'm like every. Each next card was like, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. And yep. Then, get to the end and you're like, wow, I seem to be missing all the affiliated people. Where'd they go? And then there. So, interesting set. I'll be getting a set printed and it will be legal this weekend. So,
this weekend it will.
Let's all bring something new.
Well, yeah, we'll have a chance to dive into that on Saturday, and then I'm sure we'll have a lot more to say about unnatural selection next week. But as you mentioned, it's been a long show.
Wait.
It's been a long weekend for you.
Wait.
You've got one last thing to say.
Achievements. I got a bunch
achievements.
Of random achievements I had no idea about The one about the getting a bye and then playing three rounds, that was awesome. I got one for playing in a Continentals. I'd never seen that one before. A feat.
Yep.
A 0 point feat.
Yep, feat.
Yeah, and eye to eye.
That's a PvP.
Yeah.
So you
yeah.
played. You must have played somebody. Did you play anybody that you played before?
I played a lot of people.
Oh, that might be. Oh, because you were at Con, I bet you that is one of the
play against
ones that play a
players.
Certain different players. Yeah.
Yeah,
those are, cons are a great place to stack those up.
Yeah, I got Klingon regular and Next Generation regular. Really?
TNG wow, you're right on the cusp of both of those
Spider
then.
Limit. Yeah, so Next Generation regular, yeah, because I played the played the those cadets again.
Yep.
TNG Klingon player and Sky's the Limit. I thought I had that one. All right. Anyway, I thought it was interesting to see a bunch of random achievements that I had no idea that they were there. so I'm looking forward to seeing other random things like that pop up. Unannounced.
Good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. That was another way that I got to kind of watch over the shoulder of Gen Con. I think I mentioned before, I get every night at midnight site time, I get the email for all of the achievements that clicked over each night day. So I was like, Friday at gaming, holy crap, there was a lot of achievement. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Of course there were a lot of achievements today.
So since my flight out of Indianapolis was delayed and I didn't get to my midway until after 1 o'clock and I didn't get to San Diego until today at about 11 o'clock, I didn't do all the things that I was supposed to do, like submit all the results from all the Tribbles events. But check out these cool, swanky new scorecards we have.
Ooh,
yeah.
Where'd you get that?
This is what we're using now. They've got places for name, places for handle, and scores down at the bottom. I grabbed all the extras, so we'll be using those down here.
So where can you one get those?
I have no idea. They're probably going to be posted on the board at some point.
Oh, I thought I was setting you up for. Oh well, they are available at this part of the website right here, linked on. No, okay. I guess we'll have to lobby to get some of those. That'd be cool.
No, under 1E resources there's a scorecard, and 2E resources a scorecard, but there's no scorecard under Tribbles, so. It should go up eventually, I'm sure, once Chris is back and Johnny's back and everyone's, can post something easily.
Sure.
But, yeah. Oh, you know what I also grabbed? I also grabbed one of the promos for Unnatural Selection, the con. Did you see that? Did anybody post the picture? There's that poster that was right next to us.
I didn't. I saw it, but that was funny. I saw that you sent it.
Yeah, so right next to where we set up our Trek tables, there was a poster for the Star Trek Clicks mini battle game, and it had
Attack Wing.
Yeah, I can remember that. It had a picture of Khan from Space Seed, and it was the exact frame of the promo that we had that we were giving out. It was it was hilarious, and all our promos were cons, and con was everywhere. And it says right on the thing, get a free con promo. Ask how. We're like, yeah, right here. anyway.
And as one of the people on our list pointed out, that card image was then superimposed over their standard, game box image, which is like two TNG ships going at it, like a Vorcha and a Galaxy.
Yeah, and did you? Well, if. The thing about the poster was, Matt pointed out immediately and said, "Hey, what's technically wrong with this picture?" And I looked at it and I looked at it again. And I was sure enough, the phaser's coming out of the wrong part of the saucer section.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, which is funny for an attack game. But anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. I think that's probably finally it. I've got. I brought home an extra button or two to give out to the folks down here. I'm gonna give one to JD because his deck made the Continentals table.
Nice.
I think I'm gonna give another one to Johnny because Johnny's awesome. And I think I haven't decided yet, but I might put this promo into the pool for this week because I already got one.
Ooh.
Yeah. Anyway. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in to 200 episodes of this show.
Indeed.
That's an awful long time to be listening to us babble about this card game, but if you enjoy it as much as we do, I'm glad you could join us.
And here's hoping, I'd say here's hoping for 200 more, but I don't know that I really hope for that. That's a lot of podcasting on. I mean, I don't want to do 200 more.
Trying to remember if we made the same joke 100 episodes ago?
Right now. I'm sure 100 is not... I can't believe... I feel like we just finished the 100th episode. I said that 10 episodes ago when we got done. I can't believe it's almost 200 already, and now it's here.
Yeah. So, well, we've been a lot better this year about doing one every week, so, you know.
Yeah, so I think we got here faster.
Yeah, probably so. There's a rumor that we might be adding some lost episodes, too.
Really?
Yeah, so be on the lookout for that. We'll see what we can do.
That would be interesting. All right, well, in the meantime, this has been a really long episode, and you need to go to bed. So we're going to sign off here. Give a big shout-out to everybody who came out to Gen Con, and thanks for saying hi, and thanks to everybody who made it happen, Charlie and Chris, and everybody who ran events, Dan for running Tribbles. I look forward to hopefully you will all come back again next year. Hopefully I can see you. We'll give a shout-out to Warp 11 because they let us use their theme song, which is pretty cool, and also they rock. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And before I babble myself into oblivion, I will remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
All right, and I will draw to end. And one last thing, thanks to my roommates, Daniel, Jeffrey, and Sean. Fantastic. We'll see you all next time. And you'll be double-crossed by the double O. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot